We are in week two of 4 weeks about the Holy Spirit and how He works with believers. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit's role in our life, what He does in our life, and we talked about He gives us freedom. How many of you are glad you have freedom? The Holy Spirit gives us freedom. He gives us peace of mind, and He enhances our fellowship. And the main point of last week is we need the Holy Spirit. If you need notes, they've got some they're going to be passing out to you right now. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. There's an illustration I've used many times through the years, even here at this church, talking about the Holy Spirit. And I'll talk about it next week and describe what it means to be baptized in the Spirit and what the Word teaches us about that. There is an experience that God wants all of us to have, and it is to know the Holy Spirit in fullness and work in our lives. And I want us today to understand how the Holy Spirit works with us. The Holy Spirit's work with us. What He does with us, helping us. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18, read this way. Jesus said, "If you love me, obey my commandments." Now, let me just stop here for a moment and unpack that just a little bit. That is not a self-serving comment. Jesus is not saying that because somehow He needs you to get on board with Him. He's saying that because obedience is the path to blessing. It's the path to blessing. The devil often tries to get us seeing things wrongly. I'll talk about that in a minute. And he makes us think that somehow obedience to God is a difficult thing or a hard thing or a sacrificial thing. And the only reason it seems any of those ways to us is because the flesh is so strong. And the flesh says, you remember, I'm going to take you back. I took you back to the Bionic Man a few minutes ago. Now I'm going to take you back to a time when Sesame Street was out. You remember Sesame Street? And you remember Cookie Monster? And Cookie Monster, he didn't say a whole lot of words, but basically what he said was, me want cookies. And his whole thing was, eating cookies was above everything else. And if his friend had a cookie, Cookie Monster would eat that guy's cookie. Because he was very selfish in his approach to life. A good, fuzzy, warm character for the show. But he had this selfishness. The reality is we all have a selfishness in our own hearts where we want to know what's in it for me. What am I getting out of it? And the devil will tell you that by following Christ, you're going to lose a lot of things. Paul writes about it real clear in Galatians chapter 5. He says, when the flesh leads you, the works of the flesh are things like hatred and anger and bitterness and wrath. Nothing that's good in that equation. And he goes on to say, but when you're led by the Spirit will produce in you love and joy, peace, goodness, patience, kindness, gentleness. That's a great trade. I would love to give up all of the negative things in my life and receive the good things of God. Obedience is the key to that. It's not because obedience earns that, but obedience is the process that leads us into that path of blessing. So Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. You don't earn the Holy Spirit's presence. You welcome Him through your obedience. Now, this may sound like a little bit of splitting of hairs, but it's very important you understand this. We are not saved because we earn salvation. We are not saved by our good works, but we are saved to do good works. Jesus declares that in Matthew chapter 5, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He says, let your light shine. That's a commandment, by the way. What does that mean? He says, so that people will see your good works, your good deeds. And then they'll glorify the Father in heaven. It's not that our good works are the foundation of our salvation, but they are the fruit of our salvation. It's not that we earn the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives through our obedience, but our obedience welcomes Him into our life. Now, Jesus wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and He promised to send the Holy Spirit, but obedience is the key to receiving him. The word that's there in John 14, it's translated different ways in English by different versions, and the Amplified gives them all pretty much. The word that's there is parakletos, which means one who comes alongside. That's the very specific meaning of this phrase. And it can be used to speak of a counselor, one who comes to give you insight, direction. It can be used of a comforter, one who comes alongside in your time of need. Anybody ever gone through a tough time and somebody came to your aid just to help you? That would be a paraclete. That would be a person who comes alongside you to bring comfort to your life. The same word means all of these things. It can mean teacher. It can mean guide. It can mean an advocate. Now, an advocate is different than an assistant in the basic meaning of the word. An assistant is there to help you with whatever you tell them to do. And you say, I need you to run this errand for me. I need you to take care of this project for me. You give them direction and they do it. An advocate comes alongside of you not to take direction from you, but to give you direction and help you through the process. The advocate comes along to lead you in the path that will bring you to a place of blessing. John is the one that speaks of the advocate more than any other writer. And in chapter 15, verse 26, he records Jesus saying, I will send you the advocate, the paraclete, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. So Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will be there from the Father to tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit also gives us divine reminders of important information. Anybody ever get some important information that you just can't remember what it was? Anybody ever have a mental list that the moment you begin to act on it within a few moments, it evaporates? I'm telling one of myself right now. But yesterday I was thinking, I'm not going to tell what it was, but I was thinking of something at Sam's I needed, because Sam's has everything. And I go to Sam's, and as soon as I pull in the parking lot, I'm like, I just forgot what I was coming to get. So I got my cart, and I went up and down the aisles, and when I saw what I was looking for, I thought, that's what I came here for. I'd already put five other items in my basket by that time, so that's the way Sam's operates. But the Holy Spirit has been given to us, the Bible says, to remind us of truth. It's amazing that I've seen through my life people as they advance in years and their memory becomes a little bit foggy and a little bit ineffective, how that when you start talking about God or even singing songs that bring worship and glory to God, how immediately their memory kicks back in. Now, I think that's more than just the ability to somehow recapture a former memory. I believe that's the Holy Spirit working to help them remember what the truth is and to guide them and lead them. But that's not only for the aged, it's also for the young. The Holy Spirit will give us reminders of important information. The Holy Spirit also gives you a godly conviction regarding sin. If there is sin in your life, understand this. The Holy Spirit and the devil will both say the same thing about your sin. Get that first. They will both say, very strong and very clear, you have done wrong. You might think it's your conscience, and it probably is a little bit of that, but the Holy Spirit will enhance your conscience. Anybody ever did something wrong, and within just moments, something grips you on the inside that says, you should not have done that. You were too quick with your words. You let your temper get out of control. Anybody ever have that happen? In those moments, the Holy Spirit will tell you, you are wrong. But it's conviction, not condemnation. The Holy Spirit gives you conviction so that we will repent and be restored. The devil points out your wrongdoing for the sake of condemnation. The Holy Spirit will say to you, you messed up. You need to get it right and be restored in relationship with the Father. And if you've done something to another person, you go ask for their forgiveness so you're restored in relationship with them. The devil will say to you, you've done wrong. You need to go find a cave to live in. You need to isolate. You need to pull apart. because he's trying to bring condemnation in your life. When we do wrong, it is a good thing that the Holy Spirit points out the wrong so that we can be corrected. Not in anger, not in hatred, but for the end result of us receiving the blessings that come from being in the right place with God. The Holy Spirit works as our advocate, and he gives us power, love, and perspective. Let's look at those things this morning just quickly. The Holy Spirit energizes you with power. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." One of my friends talked about when he was a youth pastor, there was a kid that had just come to know the Lord. They didn't know anything about the Bible, and they had this deal where they let different kids read the scripture. And this young man that had just gotten saved in his early teens was very exuberant and excited. He said, "I want to read it, I want to read it." And he read this verse right here. And when he got to Judea and Samaria, he said Judea and Samaria. He thought that was the right way to say it. But the reality is, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will empower us to do the work of God. The Holy Spirit gives us power over anxiety. We can rest in God. We can trust in Him. Continually, the Holy Spirit is calling us and pulling us to trust in God, to rest in Him, to find peace in Him. We talked about last week, the Holy Spirit gives us peace, enhances our peace of mind. The devil is continually trying to stir us up. The devil is continually trying to make us anxious. Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble?" The Holy Spirit brings hope, power, and confidence in the midst of uncertainty. The Holy Spirit will help us to know that we're on the right track. Now, I think about the story of Moses as he comes to the Red Sea. The Egyptians are behind him, waters in front of him, mountains surround him. There's nowhere to go. And the Bible says that the Red Sea was there until he began to step toward it. And as he took the step, you all know what happened. The water rolled back. It's amazing how people have tried to explain what natural phenomena occurred there. And I don't know if any of them are right or wrong. I just simply know God did it by whatever means he wanted to. Years ago, someone said, "Well, that wasn't the Red Sea." Somebody of particular supposed knowledge of history and of geography said, "It wasn't the Red Sea. It was the Reed Sea." And it was a very small, shallow place that the Israelites crossed through. And that's how they made it through. One guy, upon hearing the report, got very excited, said, "Praise God, praise God, praise God." And the skeptic said, "Why are you praising God? I just explained away to you how the Egyptians crossed over. It was a very shallow thing of water." And the guy said, "Well, God drowned all the Egyptians in shallow water. That's even more incredible than the original story." He may have used wind. I don't know how he did it, but what I know is that when Moses stepped out in obedience to the leading of the Spirit, when he stepped, the waters parted. God will help us that when we obey Him in the middle of that storm, in the middle of that uncertainty, when we walk in faith and we walk in obedience, He will help us. Isn't it amazing? We often talk about being people of faith. We talk about walking by faith, not sight. But the first time we have to actually step out in faith, we're like, "Oh, no. God, reveal the whole thing to me. Give me wisdom, understanding." And God says, "Well, I'm giving you those, but I want faith right now." Obedience always requires a measure of faith. But when we step out in faith, God will give us hope and power and confidence in the midst of our uncertainty. The Holy Spirit gives you power to succeed in serving God. You know, we talk about success in the world, in the church even, and what success looks like. And can I tell you that when we get to heaven, God's not going to ask you what you did compared to other people. He's not going to be concerned about the size of your influence from your perspective. He's going to want to know, were you faithful in what I called you to do? You know, sometimes we think we have to do large things, and we need to do the best that we can for God. We should never settle for anything less than our best. Amen? But we can't measure it according to our human view. What if on your street where you live, there was a little 9-year-old boy, 9-year-old girl, who was going to be the next Billy Graham? And God put you on that street so you could invest in them. You may not ever know it, may not ever see it. And you get through life and you think, well, all I did was I was a friend of that little 9-year-old kid. But God has plans beyond our understanding. What God desires from all of us and what the Holy Spirit will help us to do is to be faithful in serving God. When the devil talks to you, and he will, that's temptation. Through the temptation, he brings feelings of doubt, discouragement. He'll tell you what's wrong and why you're wrong and what can happen and what wrong direction you should take. But when God talks to you, that's inspiration. Some people say, well, how do I know if it's God speaking to me or the devil or just myself? Well, here's what I know from my experience. When God is speaking to me, he's always calling me to a higher level, something better, something more. He's bringing encouragement to my life, not discouragement. He's calling me to rise up and be the person that I can't be in my natural ability. And that's the inspiration of God that he brings to every one of his children who will listen to him. Now, it will be confirmed by the more authoritative, inspired word of God called the Bible. If you ever come to me or if I ever come to you and say, I've got a word from God, it's a little contrary to printed scripture, but I feel pretty good about it. We've been misled. It's either the devil or it's our own human desire. God will always line up what he tells us now with his word. You see, the word of God is alive. It's living. It's not a dead book. It speaks to us today, and the Holy Spirit illuminates it to our heart so that we can hear from God. So therefore, we need to fill our heart and our lives with God's word so the Holy Spirit can give us the right word at the right time. Be filled with the word of God. Second thing, the Holy Spirit enriches you with love. The Holy Spirit affirms that we are God's children and gives us that love for God. Romans 8:15 says, you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. We have the ability to recognize that God is my Father. He is my protector. He is my provider. He is my caregiver. He will watch over me when I'm wrong. He will correct me through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He will put me on the right path. He is watching me, guiding me, and helping me get to the right place. And it's the Holy Spirit that lets me know I am a child of God. See, in life, we have a lot of different associations of people that we know. We have acquaintances, people that we know, maybe by name or just, you know, a little bit. Then we have friends. Friends, that's people that we know well, that we do things with, that we are connected to. Then we have family. And I really like to think of our church as a family, to be honest. But here's what I know about my family. When they need me, I'm going to be there for them. Now, I hope you don't get too upset with me or too angry with me this morning, but even while we were in service here a few moments ago, my youngest son is going through some decisions of life, and he texted me early this morning, and I texted him back before church started, and I felt a ding a while ago, and it was him. And while we were here in church, I think prompted by God to give him right advice and wisdom, I sent him a text because my kids can get to me anytime. I want to be a good father. I want to make sure I help them in their time of need. Now, I continue to worship the Lord, and I ask the Lord to empower me and to help me do that. I wasn't just talking to him about sports or weather. But see, my kids have access to me. My wife has access to me that no one has. See, God says through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you're a child of God. If you understand that, that ought to make you happy today. That ought to make you want to shout, praise God. I am his child. I'm not just an acquaintance. I'm not even just a friend. I'm more than that. We sing that one song that says, I am a friend of God. It's a great song. It's an awesome song. I'm glad that I'm a friend of God, but I can up that one more. I am a child of God. I am His son. I call Him Father. The Holy Spirit makes us aware of this truth, and our love for God is there because of the Holy Spirit's work. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 4:18 that love is the force that overcomes fear. Such love has no fear because perfect love, I love this word in the New Living Translation, perfect love expels all fear. We have the love of God. The Holy Spirit enriches us with love. The Holy Spirit fills your life with love for God, for others, and for the lost. Romans 5:5 says this, and this hope will not lead us to disappointment. He's talking about the journey that starts with a problem, that starts with a difficulty, and it leads to hope in God. And then he says, and this hope that we have will allow us to know how much and how dearly God loves us, because He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. How many of you in the room today, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You are a child of God. Would you say amen? Amen. How many of you today want to be filled with the Spirit? You are filled with the Spirit. You want to be filled with the Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit to dominate and control your life. Would you say amen? Can I tell you that one sign that will be an indicator of that in your life is that your heart is filled with love? Let me put it real simple for you. God doesn't want or need any more grouchy Christians. Now, the Bible makes it very clear how that love operates. We speak the truth in love. We don't have some watered-down, sloppy agape. It's not just, well, it doesn't matter, just do whatever you want to, we don't care. Love says, because of what sin does in your life, we want you to get that out of your life and be filled with the Spirit of God, so the Holy Spirit will reveal to you that you're a child of God and fill your heart with the love of God, so you'll have love for God, love for one another, and love for even those who are lost, that they would come to know Christ as their Savior. We are the house of love. Word's been taken by so many groups that don't even know what it is. This is the house of love. This is the house of grace. This is the house of goodness. And the Holy Spirit enriches us with His love. The Holy Spirit helps you love others well. And I'll give you five quick keys this morning to look at here. Number one, if you want to love others, the first thing you have to do, and I'm going to go through ABCs down to E with you here, is accept others for who they are, not who you want them to be. I discovered a long time ago, I'm not real good at changing people. A lot of people don't even follow my directions. I heard a pastor one time was talking about people where he had formerly served and whatever, and he said to the people in this certain meeting, it wasn't mean or harsh, but he just made this statement. He said, a lot of you didn't do what I wanted you to do when I was your pastor. He said, that's why I'm not your pastor anymore. And I thought, well, that's pretty good insight right there. The reality is I can't make any of you do anything. I have trouble getting my dog to obey. Much less try to get you to do what you need to do in life. But you know who can? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide us, will speak to us, and what we need to do instead of trying to tell everybody what they're doing wrong and what they need to do more of and how they're missing the mark. We just need to pray and say, God, You reveal Your direction for them in their life. Let it come from You, God, and then it will last. See, it's kind of like this. If I put some restraint on you, which I don't even have the power to do, but if I could do that, you would do it only as long as I was around or that I was watching. Because it's an external control. But the Holy Spirit does something unique that's so important. He changes us on the inside. And when our nature is changed, our nature is transformed. It's no longer the old man, but it's the new man. He changes that. He transforms that. That's going to be lasting power. Let me give you an example. My dog is very kind. She'd probably lick you to death. She'll jump on you. She might bark and growl, but I don't think she would bite anybody. She'll bite paper. She chews paper up like nobody's business. If we had children who were still in school, they could literally say, my dog ate the homework, and they would probably be telling the truth if they left it out. But her nature's not mean. But let's say there's a dog that's got a nature that's vicious and mean. We got a couple of ways to fix that. One is we put a muzzle on the dog, an external control device that keeps the dog from biting anybody. And it's all well and good to go around that dog when it has the muzzle on, and you can pet it, talk to it, do whatever. And if he has the muzzle on, that external control, he can't bite you. But let's say that dog figures out a way to wiggle out of that muzzle, or that one of the straps gets loose enough that he can figure out how to get it off and whatever. And he still has the inner nature that says, I'm going to bite people. When you go to pet him or you go to do whatever you're doing with that dog, if he can get that muzzle off, that external control, you're going to be bit. Can I get a witness? But if we take that dog to a training class, an instructor works with him and trains him so that his nature is pushed back and not allowed to be at the forefront, he won't bite you whether he has a muzzle on or off unless his owner gives the command to bite. You better be good friends with the owner of the dog at that point. The Holy Spirit works internally to change our nature. Does that make sense? Accept others where they are, not where you want them to be. Be patient with people's progress. They may not move as quick as you think they should, but you're probably not moving as quick as somebody else thinks you should either. Connect with them when they hurt. The Bible says that when we're the family of God and when one person has a problem, that we all suffer with them. When one rejoices, we all rejoice with them. It means that we accommodate people where they are, and if they are hurting, we come and bring comfort to them in that time. Desire what's best for others. How can we help other people grow? You know, it's been said many times, but if you want joy in your life, you put Jesus first, others second, yourself third, and that's the pathway to joy. Caring for others and desiring for their best to happen is the key to letting the Holy Spirit help you love others well. The last one here is erase all offenses. I read a statement about Clara Barton. I knew who she was, didn't know a lot about her. I read a little bit about her. Clara Barton was the founder of the Red Cross. She was never married. She lived to be 91 years old, never had children, never married. She had a few pets, had dogs later in life. She took on cats as her particular pet of desire. As a lady back in the 1830s, 40s, 50s, in that era, she's a young adult, she began to care for people as a nurse. Well, back when they didn't even have any formal training. But she just had a natural gifting, and then she raised up money and raised up people. And of course, today the Red Cross is one of the greatest organizations in the world at helping people in their time of need. She was asked one time about a particular person that they had a well-known dispute between the two of them, and the one lady had been very ugly and very harsh in her attitude, her treatment toward Clara Barton. And someone asked, Ms. Barton said, do you still have a problem with so-and-so? And she said, oh no, I don't really know what you're talking about. And they said, oh, you know what we're talking about. It was well publicized. It was in the paper. This lady called you names, and she disparaged your character, impugned who you are, your name, and you know who this lady is. Do you still have a problem with her? And Clara Barton said, no. Said, I really don't remember the problem, but I do remember explicitly forgiving her of any wrong she had done to me, and since that point, I've never thought about it. Be quick to erase offenses. You know what I've discovered in life? Many of the offenses that people have are pretty much imaginary. Well, so-and-so was mean to me, and they were rude to me. And the reality is, often the person that you think was mean or rude to you, they're not even aware of what you're talking about. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill your heart with love. Can somebody say amen? The Holy Spirit enlightens you with perspective. The Holy Spirit magnifies Jesus. And our perspective shapes how we see life. Sometimes I use a phrase in my notes here, when you're feeling out of sorts. Everybody know what that phrase means? When you feel out of sorts, things aren't just quite right. In those moments, the Holy Spirit will remind you of truth. So I got like four of them here for you. When you feel lonely, the Holy Spirit reminds you that God is with you. Hebrews 13:5, the last part of the verse says this, God has said, Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Aren't you glad that God is with us at all times? You need not be alone. The Holy Spirit lets us know God is with us. When you're insecure, you know what I've discovered in life? All of us have issues of insecurity. They can be prompted by an offhanded comment. Someone didn't even realize they were hitting a sore spot, pushing a button, but all of a sudden we can get defensive and we can get insecure in our life. And the Holy Spirit reminds you that God is your security. Psalm 16, 8 and 9 says, I always keep the Lord in front of me when he is by my side. By the way, the word paraclete, there it is right there again in the Old Testament. Same thought. One who comes alongside me. When he is by my side, I cannot be moved. That is why my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body rests securely. We are secure in him. We find security in him. God is my source and my strength. When you feel uncertain, the Holy Spirit reminds you that God is your counselor. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. God will be with us at all times, keeping us and protecting us. When you feel discouraged, the Holy Spirit reminds you God is your comforter. Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is there to rescue all who are discouraged and have given up hope. I want to encourage you this morning to welcome the Holy Spirit's leadership in your life and receive help from him. What does that mean to welcome the Holy Spirit's leadership? It means that you yield to him the reins of your life. You yield to him the control of your steps. Anybody ever had a plan, idea of where life was going to go for you only to find out it didn't go the way you thought it would? See, we're not that good at directing our own lives. We don't see the future very well at all. Here's what people are different ways. If you're an optimist, are there any optimists in the room? Let me see your hands right now. If you're an optimist, your hand goes way up really high, not kind of like this. If your hand goes up like this, you think you're an optimist, but you're really not. Optimists in the room, let me see hands real high, real fast. So yeah, a bunch of you are. See, optimists have this idea, hey, it's going to be okay, it's going to work out, everything's going to be fine, And it might, and it might not. Pessimists. Any pessimists in the room? Don't raise your hand. Just kind of look at the ground and cover your eyes. Pessimists are a little bit like, oh, it's going to be so bad. Woe is me. Everything is just awful, and nothing good's going to come out of this. And you're probably not going to be right either. Here's what I've discovered in life. Things don't always go the way I plan. Sometimes I'm surprised, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad, but through it all, the Holy Spirit will guide me, and he knew what was going to happen before it ever happened. I may be surprised, he's never surprised. I can trust in him to know that he is with me, that he will help me. I yield control of my life to him. So today I want to ask you to do these three things with me. Number one, ask the Holy Spirit, energize me with your power. Because often I feel weak. Often I feel incapable. But Holy Spirit, you're always more than enough. Psalm 46, 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. I will look to you, God, even when things are bad. I will look to you when things are good. I will not become confident in myself. I will not be discouraged by my circumstance. I will stand in your power and I will be strong because you are my strength. What a great verse. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in time of trouble. Ask God to enrich you with love. You'll love this phrase. When others annoy you, you probably never get annoyed. I do occasionally. But you know what? When I get annoyed, what the problem is most of the time? It's me. That's my choice. Say, well, people just annoy me. Get over it. Learn to deal with it. If you think you can find the perfect home, the perfect church, even the perfect you, I got a bridge I want to sell you. Here's what I'm telling you. Life is filled with bumps difficulties. I don't have enough time to get upset with other people when they don't do what I think they should do, because I have trouble with myself. And I need the Holy Spirit to help me. When you get annoyed with people because they're not doing what you think, they're not doing what you think they should do, listen to the words of 1 John 3. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Wow, this is the Holy Spirit convicting right now through His Word. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so that we'll be confident whether we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings and He knows everything. Let us love in our actions, not only in our words. Third thing, pray this: Holy Spirit, enlighten me with a perspective to grasp life. Isaiah 41:10 says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. Can somebody say amen? I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Would you bow your heads all across the room this morning? I'm going to ask two questions today. One is, if you're not a follower of Christ, I'm going to invite you to accept Him into your life and let the Holy Spirit guide you. Two, if you're a follower of Christ, I want you to join me and express a desire to be filled with the Spirit of God so that these things become real in your life and in my life. Number one, if you're here today and you're not following Jesus Christ, right now, if you're not following Him, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in your heart saying, you need that. You need that. Don't push that away. Don't ignore that. Don't let pride of what others are going to think hinder your life. The reality is, we're all going to rejoice. We're not going to look at you and judge you as being a bad person. It's not about it being a good person or a bad person. It's about accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you haven't done that, today is the day of salvation. If you're here this morning, you say, I need Jesus Christ to be the Savior of my life. I want Him to come and wash away all my sins. And I want to know that I'm right with God. And that's what I need today. Would you lift your hand all across the room right now, real high, just so I can see it. Thank you. Anyone else? It's what I need today. God wants to give you a fresh start, a new beginning. He wants to make you into a new person. And how many of you join me and say, I want the Holy Spirit to have the reins of my life. I yield control to Him. I want Him to fill me. I want Him to overflow me. I want Him to give me these blessings, these benefits. I want Him to energize me. I want Him to enrich me with love. I want Him to enlighten me and show me the things I need to know. I want the Holy Spirit to work in my life every day. If that's you, would you raise your hand with me all across the room? That's what I want in my life. Would you stand together this morning? I'd like our prayer team to come right now. If you need prayer in your life for a need, if the Holy Spirit's talking to you right now that you want someone to agree with you for the blessings of God in your life, I'm going to invite you to come right now as we sing this chorus. It says, Welcome, Holy Spirit. Here's what I want you to do in the room. We're going to dismiss in just a moment. But right now, I want you to give your full attention to think about the goodness of God and the blessing of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Do you need the energy the Holy Spirit can provide? If you do, say amen. Do you need the enrichment of the Holy Spirit so that your heart is filled with love? Would you say amen? If you need the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit to see things clearly, would you say amen? Now, if you said amen even one, I hope you said it all three times, but if you even said it once, as we sing this song, would you lift your hands as a symbol of your worship to God, your dependence upon Him, and say, Welcome, Holy Spirit, in my life.